Dzień dobry wszystkim. Chciałabym wszystkich Państwa serdecznie powitać.
Good morning. I would like to welcome everybody at the presentation of BZWPK's performance for quarter two and half one 2016. With us is Jerry Byrne. You can see him on the screen. Unfortunately, for business reasons, he had to be in Madrid. Słyszysz dobrze? And I have some technical comments. There is some time lag because of the connection. So please speak in Polish and ask your questions clearly. Słyszysz?
Tutaj procedowanie dzisiaj. No i za każdym razem, jak zadajecie Państwo, proszę zwrócić...
Each time you're asking your questions, make sure that your microphones are turned on. Eamon Crowley, the CFO, is with me. My name is Agnieszka Dowrzyska. I'm in charge of investor relations. I think we can start.
You are very welcome. Excuse me for not being with you in Warsaw today, but I have to be here in Madrid for some business. Let me make it, you already have received our press release, I trust, so let me make a couple of opening comments. The results we're announcing today for the first half of the year are solid, stable, satisfactory results on an underlying basis, and we will explain what we mean by underlying in the next half hour. On an underlying basis, our profit has grown 1%. That is when you factor out one-off gains in 2015, one-off gains in 2016, and looking at our business before the recently introduced banking tax. So, most encouraging is that the profit performance is as a result of us doing a lot more business with a lot more of our customers. You will see from the figures on the screen on slide 4 that our growth in both lending and on deposits has grown double digit. We expect that will outperform the sector. It will outperform some of our main competitors, and it is confirmation that we are starting to optimize the customer base that we have, and we're starting to do more business with that customer base. So slide 5. This is really a slide to confirm that we are on our way with a significant commercial transformation. We are investing significantly in our customer relationship management technology and our customer relationship skills, while internally in the organization we are transforming our processes and systems and the way we deliver business. And we call that under the caption of digital transformation. Over the next 6, 12, 18 months, you will see the benefits of that coming through from both results from customer enhancement and from efficiency gains that we will get on the cost line as we automate more and more of our processes. Slide number 6. Some selective focus on some of our growth. In SMEs, we have grown in excess of 10%. Our cash loans to individuals has grown by 8%. Again, both of these outperform the market. And a significant growth, indeed substantial growth, in both our deposit and and savings accounts. You see that on the left hand of the screen. In terms of customers, let me remind you, BZ Bubica has in excess of 4 million customers. Over 3 million, about 3.2 million of those are active customers. Active customers we define as those customers that are transacting some business with us on a very regular basis, weekly, monthly basis. Of the 3.2 million active, 1.2 million almost exclusively do all their banking with BZ Bubica. So the size of our franchise and the size of our customer base is significantly increasing quarter on quarter. The data and the information and the portfolio management that we have around that customer base today is at a very sophisticated level. So whether in retail, SME or corporate, we have those customers identified in portfolios and we have relationship management skills available to them. A significant development that continues to be a feature is the migration to digital channels. And again, you see the growth of both mobile customers, internet customers, and Eamon will comment later in detail about the level of activity that is going through those channels. So we are more and more seeing the digital world evolve in banking, and Poland is at the coalface of that in terms of driving forward on serving our customers in a more friendly, automated, accessible way. Slide number 7. Again, confirming what I said at the outset. Underlying profit performance up 1%. Headline level down 19%. Again, Eamon will explain that in detail. Some factors in that reduction were operating in a lower interest rate environment. 50 basis points reduction year on year. We're operating in an environment with new tax levy. We're operating in an environment with increasing regulatory costs. And then we had the one-off benefit last year of the sale of our majority shareholding in Aviva Life and Aviva Pensions, of which we benefited substantially last year. Obviously, we don't have that benefit this year. This year, we have the benefit of Visa Europe share sale, but Eamon will describe that in detail. But the key message I want to share with you is that comparing apples with apples year on year, our business has grown 1%, notwithstanding a reduction in interest rates. Our core revenues showing a healthy increase, our net interest income growing by almost 10%. I suggest that that will be one of the better performances in this sector. Our fee income is compressed as a result of a change in group insurance scheme to individual insurance, particularly in our consumer finance business. And also our asset management and brokerage business was impacted by the reduction in the Warsaw Stock Exchange and the value of equities there. But again, we expect that will show positive growth over the next couple of quarters as the cycle shifts into positive territory. We have made big improvements in our non-performing portfolio, now at 6.8%, and in fact further reduced since the half year. Again, Eamon will comment. And our cost of credit charge-off at a low of 75 basis points, and we expect that to continue to improve. And our capital position well in excess of regulatory requirements and one of the best in the market. Slide 8. More detail here. Let me sum this up, and I'm probably repeating a couple of things. We have good momentum in top line revenue, notwithstanding a lower interest rate environment. Our underlying costs are flat, or indeed somewhat reduced. The increase of 2% in our costs are exclusively related to our investment in new technologies, and those technologies are mostly focused on improving the customer proposition. You can see the new banking tax levy kicking in just before profit before tax at 173 million. That's for the 5 months, February, June. And that impacts our profit after tax, or our attributable profit, to 19% reduction. But as I said, underlying 1% growth when you compare apples with apples. Slide 9, just the key ratios demonstrated to you. Our return on capital, our return on equity, 12%, will be, or I suggest, is one of the best in the market. We obviously have to wait to see the sector results for the half year. But the reduction in our return on equity, among other things, as a result of increased regulatory costs and the increase in bank levy tax. With very strong liquidity position, we continue to sustain self-funded position, and that continues to be our strategy going forward. BZ Rubik itself, very liquid at 89% loan deposit ratio. And again, you see our core tier 1 capital and our total capital ratio. Slide 10, a 10 picture of the quarter-on-quarter growth in both deposit and lending. Again, let me repeat, outperforming the market, business lending 14% growth, personal lending 8% growth, but with a substantial increase in PLN mortgages. Again, Eamon will comment in detail in a few moments. And on the deposit liability side, very good performance, substantial increase in business deposits. Our business portfolios are more and more self-funding, and that helps in terms of interest, net interest margins, etc. Slide 11. This is a very interesting slide because it shows the migration to new digital channels that I mentioned a few moments ago. We are number one in Poland in terms of our mobile banking application. In fact, we're number three in Europe. So we're at the cutting edge of digital, and particularly we're excelling at our mobile proposition. We will bring our internet and our call center channels up to that level over the next number of quarters. But the migration of our overall customer base to using both branches and using digital is very encouraging, and we're seeing a substantial pickup in sales activity as well as transaction activity through those channels each quarter. Eamon will now step through some detail, and then we'll open it up for questions and answers.
Thank you, Gerry. So we will just move to page 13, which is the loan performance. The loan book is up 11% year on year. If you strip out FX movements, it's up 10%, so the underlying portfolio is up 10. It's up 3% in the quarter, and closer to 2% again if you strip out the FX movement. But still very credible growth with regard to the book. I'll just draw your attention to the bottom right-hand side where you see the BZ Rubica loan growth. The mortgage loan portfolio was up 9%, but actually if you strip that out, the Zloty portfolio is up 21% year-on-year, and the Swiss franc portfolio is down 7%, or 200 million Swiss francs, and currently the Swiss franc portfolio in BZ Rubica equates to 2.7 billion Swiss francs. SME leasing and factoring are up a very credible 15%. Cash loans, credit cards and overdraft are up 11%. So all very strong numbers in areas where we focus and segments that we have a strong focus both in retail and SME. For SCB, the consumer finance book is up 10%. The mortgage book reduced by 8%, with about 60 million Swiss francs repaid in the last 12 months. The level of the Swiss franc book is now 750 million Swiss francs. And the SME, the small SME and business lending book, it was up 4%. But again, good strong performance on the consumer book, and SCB continues to perform well. On page 14, strong growth in deposits, up 13% year on year and 3% in the quarter. Again, I will re-emphasise what Jerry mentioned, which was the fact that we have quite a positive shift of our customer base towards demand and savings accounts. It was actually 8.4 billion of growth in the last year, up 18% in those balances alone. It highlights the increased transactionality with our customers and the deepening of our relationships, so it's very positive performance. And it obviously supports our net interest margin as well, which I'll discuss shortly. For SCB, the deposit base was up 17% year on year to 7.9 billion. So again, highlights quite a nice funding position for SCB. And lastly, our LCR ratio at the end of June was 160%, so very safe. And our NSFR ratio was 110%. So with regard to Basel measurements, we are in safe territory. If I just turn to the next slide, which is slide 15, it shows our net interest income. It's up 9% year on year. It's up 2.5% in the quarter. Our net interest margin is now 3.67%, so an increase of 8 basis points in the quarter. That growth is split 50-50, so 4 basis points was on the funding side and 4 basis points was on the lending side. The lending side predominantly driven by the improved mix, so a higher mix of higher margin business, and that's linked back to growth in SME and cash loans and overdrafts, as I mentioned in the previous slide. If I just turn to the fee income slide, net fees in quarter two were flat at 471 million. They were 6% lower than the equivalent quarter last year. The fee income line was influenced by SCB, which delivered 49 million in quarter two, but that was 16% lower than quarter one. So the main influence on our fee in quarter two was actually SCB, and as Jerry mentioned, that is related to the change in the group insurance approach from the 1st of April. SCB will address that movement downwards by additional products and additional services, so it's something they will work on. So we see it as a temporary move. Our card income was 19% higher quarter on quarter. Card volumes continue to grow. They were up 14% versus quarter one, and they were up 19% year on year. We now are number two. We're second place in the market with regard to credit cards, where we have over 760,000 active credit cards in the market, and that is helping the performance of this line. Credit fees grew 2% in the quarter, and as I mentioned, insurance fees were lower as a result of the group insurance approach. Customer and other, which is made up of current accounts and FX income, increased by 4% quarter on quarter, and actually supported by growth in both FX income and current account income through the quarter. Capital markets fees were flat versus quarter one. but this is a tale whereby asset management fees actually increased by 3% in the quarter, but brokerage fees were lower, so they offset each other. If you look at our assets under management, they increased by 1% in the quarter, which I think is positive versus the rest of our competitors, and they were up 3% year to date, which is very, very good performance in difficult market conditions, both by way of the sale of investment fund units and the performance of the underlying stock market as well. If we just turn to page 17, we show gross income, and I'll just draw your attention to the line which says one-off transactions. So in 2015, in the first half, we recorded 523 million pre-tax gain on the Aviva transaction, and this year in quarter two we recorded 316 million of pre-tax gain on Visa Europe. Of that 316 million, 10 million was related to SEB and 306 million was related to BZ Vubica. The other thing to mention on this slide is we realised gains in investment bonds in quarter two of 41 million, which is more or less the same level as quarter one and the same year on year. Trading income and revaluation performed quite well, up to 90 million in quarter two versus around 80 million in quarter one, so quite positive performance there. And they're the key items on that slide. If I just turn to slide 18. For the quarter two, total costs were 841 million, which were 3% or 24 million lower versus quarter one. The reduction was driven by lower property costs, lower regulatory costs, primarily because of the contribution to the Mortgage Protection Fund in quarter one, slightly lower IT costs and other costs offset by a marketing spend in quarter two, so that slightly went up. But the main point here is that costs are under strict provision and control, and as Gerry mentioned, the underlying cost is flat year on year, and we expect it to show some positive movement downwards in the coming quarters. By way of headcount, our headcount was 100 FTEs lower in the quarter, around 600 FTEs lower year on year, and that included a reduction in SEB of about 170 FTEs. On loan loss provisions, which is slide 19, the provision charge in quarter two was 177 million. It increased by 32% versus quarter one, but this can be explained by the sale of SCB NPLs, which resulted in a positive position in quarter one. When you exclude that, BZ Rubica's provision charge was 10 million lower at 134 million in the quarter. The annualised provision charge was flat quarter on quarter at 75 basis points and reduced by 17 basis points year on year. Our coverage ratio increased and SEB's coverage ratio was stable at 92%. So it highlights the safe position for both BZ Rubica and for SCB in this regard. The NPL ratio was 6.82%. That's down 1.25% year on year. And SCB's ratio was 9.7%, which is slightly lower year on year. It was 9.8 this time last year, but it's not showing any signs of stress. BZ Rubica sold 561 million of NPL sales in quarter two, bringing the total for the group to just under 1 billion year to date, actually 974 million. The NPL sales led to a positive tax impact of 3.2 million. That's an after tax impact, 3.2 million in quarter two, and for the whole of quarter one, all of the first half, 54 million of positive after tax impact. We expect the provision charge to remain around 75 basis points in the coming quarters. It may improve because of the environment, but we are prudent at that level. But the NPL ratio will continue to reduce as we work through that portfolio and as it matures. On the next slide, we just highlight the level of regulatory costs paid by the bank, and secondly, the banking tax, which equated to 173.2 million for the first 5 months of the tax. On the last slide, the 21st slide, you'll see a similar story to Jerry's comments by way of underlying attributable profit increasing by 1%. Let me just explain what that means. It's attributable shareholder profit excluding Aviva, Visa and banking tax. It's comparing apples with apples in that regard. The quarter two effective tax rate was 23% due to the imposition of the banking tax approach, which is not tax deductible. And let me just go back to one last point, which relates to capital. You'll see on slide 7 that the core equity tier 1 ratio is 13.99%. It should be noted that this excludes profits from the first half of the year. If you were to include those profits, the core tier 1 ratio would increase by 124 basis points. And if you take it that our policy is to pay dividends at 50 basis points, it would imply 14.6% core equity tier 1 ratio. However, I should note that the addition of that those basis points to the capital requires KNF approval. But at this moment, subject to that, core equity tier 1 would be 14.6%. So very strong, incredible. And that's after the payment of 1.3 billion of dividends in May. So they're the key items on the financials. And we're open now to questions if you have some.
Zapraszam do zadawania pytań, jeżeli jakieś są.
Please ask your questions. We're opening the session of questions and answers.
Okay, Kamil, please go ahead in Polish, right? Good morning, Haitian Bank. The growth in sales, especially in retail, there is a clear jump both in mortgages and consumer loans. What is the reason for such a decision? What's the cause of this? Have you changed your pricing or what? Because you have a 20-30% quarter-on-quarter difference.
We are naturally increasing our market share on mortgages. In May, we attracted 16% of the new sales in mortgages, so above our natural market share. Why? Well, two reasons. One is the marketplace is quite attractive with regard to mortgage sales. And secondly, and that's helped by lower interest rates, etc. And secondly, our product range is competitive. So, we've a good product range there and people are accessing it and the proof is in the numbers. On cash loans, we had a very strong marketing campaign in quarter two, which boosted sales to 1.1 billion of cash loans in BZ Vubica. So and by the way, this can be seen, this performance can be seen on page 29, but a significant increase in sales, which were up 7% on the year, but really supported by that marketing campaign.
Well, shall we expect that the sales like that will continue in upcoming quarters, or is it more interim because just of the campaign?
I would say a portion of the sales volume in quarter two was part of the campaign. However, I would put that at maybe 10-15% as additional volume, but we would expect, you know, sales of around 900 million to a billion in the future quarters as a stable level.
In this question, my question is on the income from fees, especially on the from loan claims and insurance, especially the insurance fees. This is significantly lower quarter to quarter. What is the reason behind that? And what do you think the trend will be? Does that derive from new regulations, or where does it come from? The quarter to quarter, the number
17% reduction. That is not a number that you should rely on, because there are some other elements in that particular line. But to come back to the key perspective, there is an impact of about 8 million in the quarter relating to group insurance schemes, quarter on quarter. It is something that we will move to address, particularly in SCB, where it has the largest impact, and we will address it through other products and other mechanisms. But it does show an impact on the change in the approach, and as I mentioned, particularly in that segment, in that area. But it looks drastic. It will not be this level going forward. Credit fees actually increased in the quarter, so it's showing positive momentum.
Jeszcze pytanie o wizę.
I have a question about Visa. Millennium published their results yesterday. They had a largest number of shares and large amount, and the impact on the results was lower. And so just back of the envelope estimations, like what did you include in those estimations? So my question is, why did you get less from Visa and the impact on the results is higher?
Okay, so I haven't studied the Millennium numbers, so I can't comment obviously on what they've done. But the details of this deal were very straightforward. There was a cash element, there was a share element, and then there was a deferred element. We've included all three in the number, and we've applied a discounted valuation to the value of the shares, the preference shares that we have. Naturally, different banks may have different approaches to that valuation of the remaining preference shares, but all three elements are included in the 316 million for us. The cash, the deferred, and the share. But I can't comment on Millennium. We believe that the valuation approach is prudent. There's a direct link from the preference shares to the underlying shares that are in the market for Visa Inc., and that's a very direct relationship that applies quite a straightforward approach to how you value those at a discounted level.
One more question about the strategy or the idea for asset management, because today it was said that UniCredit is withdrawing from the sale of Pioneer. Do you have any view on that, how it changes your plans in that business, in asset management?
No, it doesn't change the business at all here. In fact, the UNO transaction, as it was called, was above us. We continue to operate our business in the same fashion. It is very connected to the BZ Rubica network by way of sales approach and by way of product development, and we don't see it as a negative at all, because it means no change to how we do our business. And I think the proof here is the fact that our assets under management have been increasing in the first 6 months against the market, where it's been significantly reducing. And that highlights a very close connection between our customers, our branch network and direct channels, and the asset management business. So we don't see it as having any implication.
Any more questions? If you don't have any questions, I'll read out the questions we got online. The first question is from Alan Weber.
Tax can be lower in absolute terms in Q3 and Q4 versus the level of Q2 versus the Q2 level. And the second question from Ms. Anna Marshall. Interest expenses. Do you have scope for further deposit cost reduction? How much of the reduction in 2Q came from, for example, changes in mix, more current account deposits versus repricing?
Okay, so to take the first question, as I mentioned, the costs in quarter two were 3% lower, so they were 24 million lower versus quarter one at 841 million. There's an element of one-off costs in that number, which will not repeat in quarter two, so I believe there's every chance that costs will be lower in quarter three, and quarter four tends to have a slight increase every year due to seasonality, but we are in a trend of reducing costs, so I believe they will be slightly lower or even surprisingly lower, but we wait and see. By way of interest expense, the question was regard to do we have scope for further deposit cost reduction. So the you have to consider our deposits by way of the mix in our deposit base, and as I mentioned, there's a significant shift in our customer base towards interest-free or lower-cost deposits, which are savings accounts, which is helping our net interest margin. By way of the term deposits, we monitor the term deposit base quite closely. We monitor higher-cost deposits in this regard as well. But we also offer packages to our very loyal customers, whereby if they transact more business with us, we actually give them a higher interest rate on their deposit as well. So we see it as a fulsome relationship in that regard. And so in this respect, I believe there is scope for further deposit cost reduction, but we will pay a little bit extra to customers who do business with us as well. And that will pay off by way of fee income, credit spread, and obviously deposit income as well. But there is some scope for some slight reduction. And then the last question was, how much of it came from change in mix for current account deposits versus repricing? I mentioned 4 basis points came from the funding side. I would actually split that 50-50 as well. So 2 basis points from the mix and about 2 basis points from repricing.
And one more question from Mr. Jovan Sikimic. Any comment on potential M&A interest in Poland?
M&A, it's always an interesting topic. Everybody is aware of media commentary and media speculation. We obviously pay attention to that, but we have no immediate priority in that area. Our focus is on transforming the business, transforming the business model, digitalizing the processes, enhancing the customer proposition through those new channels, and getting more efficiency in the business model that Eamon just commented on. So, as a 10% market player, we have sufficient scale to compete. But if something in the future was to be particularly attractive to us and was to fit culturally and business-wise, well, then we obviously would look at it. But right now our focus is organic growth and enhancing the value from the substantial customer base we already have.
Thank you. If there is no more questions, I would like to thank you everybody, and that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. See you soon.